Hello and thank you for joining us for episode 17 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and you guessed it, fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Harris Nonby.
And I'm Alex Stewart.
And this episode focuses on a secondary attraction that may not be at the forefront of your mind when you're at the park, but it profoundly influences your perception of the park. The Rivers of America.
That's right, folks. The Rivers of America is a quiet but essential backdrop in Disneyland. Imagine, if you will, a Disneyland without the Rivers of America. Adventureland, New Orleans Square, Critter Country, and Frontierland just wouldn't feel right. And maybe I'm reaching a little bit here, but I think one could argue that in many ways, America itself is set against the backdrop of its rivers. I mean, think of all the westerns that have depicted the Rio Grande, or Mark Twain's musings about the mighty Mississippi.
The mighty Mississippi is a river that is long and flows and has bountiful amounts of water and other stuff. Mark Twain, 1887.
Here, is that the best Twain quote we could find?
Yeah, and I guess the best impression, too. Budget cuts. Budget cuts?
I guess it makes sense.
We also reference rivers in a lot of the expressions we use. Cry me a river, then build a bridge and get over it, or don't change horses in the middle of the river. Rivers have been a symbol of American can-do spirit ever since old Dingle Hutton invented gravity.
Dingle Hutton.
Yeah, don't you remember that song from elementary school? Let's see, I mean, don't ask me to sing it, but I think it went, Dingle Hutton was a-floatin' around, and it made sense to him to stay on the ground. He did some inventing for you and me, and that's why we have gravity.
Okay. So, let's take a moment to remember this American legend. Folks, I'm sorry about this, but I have to play along with this whole Dinkle Hutton thing, otherwise Harry gets, like, insanely angry. I mean, after all, I know that you and I understand that Dinkle actually invented the concept art for the first Kellogg's proof of purchase, and the sun, but Harry somehow has this weird delusion that the guy has the power to create gravity. I don't understand it.
Are you talking down during our moment of remembering Dinkle Hutton, you disrespectful, highfalutin, mealy-mouthed hack?
Harry, you should probably talk to a professional about this.
Oh, I'll talk to a professional, all right.
I don't know what that means.
It's a vague threat.
Folks, we're gonna start this thing off by giving you some context about the Rivers of America, and then we're going to ride down our own river of time and look at the history of this classic attraction / area of the park.
So there's a lot more than meets the eye about the Rivers of America, and it's easy to overlook in the midst of the many incredible attractions along its banks. One thing you might notice is that the Rivers of America represent the four major American rivers. The four major American rivers. The Mississippi, Columbia, Potomac, and Rio Grande. So, you might be wondering to yourself where those rivers are represented. Well, here you go. From the Mark Twain Riverboat Dock in Frontierland through New Orleans Square and up until the Hungry Bear restaurant in Critter Country, the river is styled after the Mississippi. So from there, the river changes into the Columbia River in the Pacific Northwest until you pass the settler's cabin. Then it becomes the Potomac River, which flows through Washington, D.C. into Chesapeake Bay on the East Coast. And finally, through most of Frontierland, it becomes Rio Grande, which flows through the southwestern U.S. into the Gulf of Mexico. So they kind of took a river from the north, south, east, and west, which is pretty cool.
Interesting. So it's kind of like an Epcot World Showcase of American rivers.
Yeah, kind of. But it wasn't until 2010 that Imagineers officially modeled the Rivers of America after actual rivers. Imagineers started with the problem, and that was that the Rivers of America in 2010 needed re-landscaping. But they decided that instead of just landscaping, they should develop specific regions of the river based on regions of the United States.
So they began regrouping animals around the river in herds. And from everything I understand, the Rivers of America will keep its theming even when they actually add the addition of the new Star Wars experience. Which, the Rivers of America are really part of Disneyland's DNA.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're keeping them intact. And speaking of which, maybe we should go back in time and look at the history of this classic tone-setting attraction / land area thing. So as we tell you about the history of the rivers of America, pretend that time itself is a river, and all these dates are just scenes on the bank.
Did we just invent a new stress management technique?
I definitely feel a lot less stressed, personally.
Okay, and did we also just become best friends?
How do I answer that? We just became best friends. Yes. Yes, it's true. Is that what you're looking for, Harrison?
I can't proceed without an affirmative, so...
Affirmative.
So something to keep in mind is that the Rivers of America is in Herb Ryman's famous concept art for Disneyland. This attraction was truly a grounding post for much of the park. So in early 1955, they dug a big trench for the river. They also built most of the original park gutters so they drain into the Rivers of America. And when they first filled the trench with water, the river drained almost immediately because the sandy soil of Anaheim absorbed all the water. You could pump about as much water into it as you wanted, and the water would just drain underground. Imagineers hadn't anticipated this snafu, so they put their heads together and lined the river bottom and the banks of the river with clay.
Did that actually work?
Clay. Yeah, it did work. The head Imagineer on this project was a retired Navy admiral named Joe Fowler. And we'll talk more about Joe Fowler in our episode in the Mark Twain Riverboat, but know that he was a driving force in the design of the river and the ships on it. So now we fast forward to the next major milestone of the Rivers of America.
July 17th, 1955. It's the day that Disneyland opened. At the time, the only boat on the waterways was actually the Mark Twain Riverboat, and it went around an almost completely bare Tom Sawyer Island. And back then, the waters were brown due to the natural clay that lined the waterway. Eventually, they poured concrete to hold the water, and the water is now dyed green to hide the hidden magic like pipes, pumps, and guidance tracks. And hey, fun fact, want to know what they used to dye the water green?
I'm going to guess Goofy's Sour Powder Candy?
Yeah, Goofy's Sour Power Candy.
Sour Power Powder Candy.
Gosh, I just sour power.
That was the worst Goofy impression I think any human's ever done.
I think you should get fined for that.
So, no, they actually use chalk because it doesn't bother the wildlife, and it doesn't settle to the bottom. So, another fun fact is in the mid-50s, when the park was freshly open, Disney stocked the river with catchable fish and allowed guests to fish right in the river.
What? That sounds great. It sounds like a relaxing way to pass time.
Well, it does sound like that, but it was actually a disaster. Yeah, people would catch fish and then leave the dead fish all over the park. And those fish were then trampled underfoot to make the park smell kind of like a stinky wharf. But maybe it was an immersive experience. I don't know.
Probably not the kind of immersive experience that Walt would have wanted. And it's not a great look if Mickey has to step over dead fish.
Exactly. So Walt wisely abandoned the idea, and it's been long forgotten ever since.
I love learning about Disneyland ideas that just didn't work well. Even the best ideas and the best inventors come up with stuff that needs tweaking. So, on your left, you'll see the year 1956, the opening of the Indian War canoes, known as Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes. And also a milestone of 1956, they built Tom Sawyer Island and made it accessible by raft.
On to 1958, the photogenic sailing ship Columbia was introduced to the waterways, which we will also cover in depth in its own future episode. So the rivers remained unchanged for about 8 years. As we discuss in our New Orleans Square episode, New Orleans Square was one of the most richly themed lands to open at the time. So that part of the Rivers of America was themed as the Mississippi, with gray, green, droopy vegetation you'd expect to see in the bayou. This was in 1966.
So then the rivers remained the same about for 26 years. So, but over on the left bank there, you will see the year 1992, the year a little show called Fantasmic was introduced, which quickly became a guest favorite that was recreated at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World.
I did not actually realize that Fantasmic started at Disneyland. I always thought that was a Disney World original and then ported over to the land.
Me too. It fits really well in Disney World, so I thought that was the original format.
Totally.
But the idea to bring the animated Wonderland of Fantasia to life through animatronics and pyrotechnics is just awesome, and it's all set against the background of America's mighty rivers. I'm really stoked just thinking about it.
Now, rounding the bend here, we're going to see over on the shore there the year 2010. During this year, they decided to re-landscape the Rivers of America to make them four great American rivers representing the South, Pacific Northwest, East Coast, and Southwestern United States.
Pretty awesome. I had no idea that each river represented an American waterway. I also didn't realize that it took them so long to add that piece of theming to the river. But sadly, at the recording of this episode, the Rivers of America is currently closed for another edition. They're building a bridge for the Disneyland Railroad to cross over the water. The concept art for this looks awesome, and it's supposed to open in 2017. I guess you ride a train over a waterfall, it looks like.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, from what the concept art looks like, I mean, anybody can go on and do just a quick Google search just of the Rivers of America 2017 concept art, and you're going to see a pretty awesome spectacle. And a lot of people have freaked out about the fact that they're moving the Disneyland Railroad, talking about how things just won't ever be the same. But a lot of people don't realize, and we'll talk about this definitely during our Disneyland Railroad episode, which will sadly probably be our last episode, because if we're going all the way around the park, it's the last attraction you see before you leave the park. But that beside that.
You're never really done with Disneyland. There's always something new.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe we'll do the hub area out in the middle there. the Esplanade, I believe, is what it's called. And then we can do all of the cool shops in downtown Disney. On the left, you're going to see the Sunglass Hut. Let's talk about the history of the Sunglass Hut. But anyway, the point is that the railroad has been changed, at least the route has been changed a couple of different times. So this isn't the first time that's happened. So anybody who's worried that like the integrity of the park is changing, this is something that's just kind of fairly routine. So don't worry, it will still be the same Disneyland that we know and love after this change occurs.
Well, and Walt was famous for saying that Disneyland is always something that will be changing. It's never just done. So that's just the way that it is. And there's something kind of nice about being able to look back and just say, well, that's not there anymore. But they built something that's cool still, that's new there. And I'll always have those memories.
Oh, absolutely. So needless to say, I'm super excited for what it's going to look like once it actually opens. Now, in the meantime, Harry, we need to tell our listeners about the technical wizardry that goes on behind the scenes for this attraction.
Most definitely. So probably the best place to start would be talking about what it takes to keep the river clean.
Dude, preventative maintenance. Now that is a hot button issue.
I know. Don't bring that up at Thanksgiving, right?
The third thing you don't talk about.
Preventative maintenance. It's also the least rock and roll concept I can think of. So initially, the rivers needed to be completely drained and cleaned every 5 years to maintain the boat tracks. And yes, the Mark Twain riverboat and sailing ship Columbia run on tracks, but Davy Crockett's Explorer canoes are free-floating.
Now, whenever they drain the rivers, they'd find all kinds of crazy stuff at the bottom, including things like pagers, which you may need to go to a museum to look at now, things like watches, and even prosthetic arms and legs. I hope that the arms and legs weren't from the same person. That'd be really sad.
Yeah, that'd be a bad day at Disneyland. And the pager. This one person lost a prosthetic arm and leg trying to fish out a pager that they dropped. That's what I'm imagining right now. It's just one guest that's dropping all that through a series of years.
Oh. It's just, he's got butterfingers, crazy butterfingers.
It's like the lady that swallowed the fly and then keeps dropping more stuff in. Well, I'm going to try to splash my pager out with this prosthetic arm. No!
It's like the stomach of a shark. Open it up and what do you find?
So, after refurbishments, the Rivers of America shouldn't need to be drained for another 20 years. How cool is that? And Al, wait for it. Do you know what happens to any aquatic wildlife when they drain the river?
Well, Disneyland sequesters the wildlife and donates it to the Huntington Library. It's pretty neat to see how such an international park is such a local one at the same time. And whenever they drain the water, they send all 9 million gallons to the Orange County Water District for recycling, where much of it is used on local crops such as orange groves, which is crazy because it's just all full circle at that point, because Anaheim used to be all orange groves and Disneyland used to be all orange groves. Man, what a cool concept.
Yeah. Well, and you know, next time you eat an orange, you never know if it if you eat a California orange, if it's been watered with the Rivers of America.
That'd be awesome. I'm eating the Rivers of America.
Ew. So they can just recycle all of it with all that chlorine, all the water in there with all that chlorine in it?
Well, actually, the Rivers of America aren't chlorinated or filtered at all. The water's kept fresh by circulating through a series of pumps that we're going to tell you about soon.
But I have to tell you, ecologists and nature lovers, something really neat about the Rivers of America. I know that's probably
a large population of our listeners.
Most of our listeners I know for a fact are ecologists. So you might notice that there are fish in the water, even though Disney doesn't stock the water with any fish, except for koi and mosquito fish. And that's because fish eggs sometimes stick to duck feet and fall off in the river when ducks land in it. And this has created a tiny ecosystem. Disney placed mosquito fish in the waterways to prevent mosquito larvae from spawning. And these mosquito fish clean up mosquitoes, algae, insect larvae, and then the mosquito fish are eaten by other larger fish and turtles, and then once something dies, it's eaten by catfish at the bottom. Are you just enraptured in this world of science now, Al?
Everything the light touches is our kingdom. Simba, you must become part of the circle of the Rivers of America.
They might have fished out a Simba, like a stuffed Simba, out of the Rivers of America at some point.
Oh, man. This reminds me of how Bill Evans' plants around the Jungle Cruise became their own ecosystem as well.
I'm glad you mentioned the Jungle Cruise, because it's time for what everybody's been waiting for, the once and for all explanation of Disneyland waterworks for all of our plumber listeners. So there are two major water systems in Disneyland.
There's a dark water system and a clear water system. The clear water system is shared by Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a Small World and Splash Mountain. This water is chlorinated, clear, and filtered, kind of like a giant pool. The other water system is called the dark water system, and it's designed to look like natural waterways. So it's green to hide things like boat tracks. So the dark water system is used by the Rivers of America, Storybook Land, the Jungle Cruise, and the moat around Sleeping Beauty's castle, simply just to hide all that stuff. So the dark water circulates in a loop around the park. From the Native American village on Tom Sawyer Island, there's actually a huge pump that sucks the water into a pipe that flows to Fantasyland. The pipe then splits into two parts, one heading to a small pond across from It's a Small World, and the other heading to Storybook Land. Both of those sources feed into the moat around Sleeping Beauty's castle. The water enters the moat near the Snow White Garden and her wishing well. The stream can then be followed to the steps at the exit of Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. And I bet from there, it goes into the Jungle Cruise.
Yep. And I hope you guys are all taking notes, because there's going to be a quiz. After that, it flows back into the Rivers of America, where it is eventually sucked up by the pump on Tom Sawyer's Island again, and it begins its adventure once again.
So the water circulates into a loop around the park. From the Native American village on Tom Sawyer's Island, the pipe then splits into two parts.
I didn't catch that. I was just mildly horrified that I'd been zoning out and just imagined that we'd gone this far.
Oh, folks, don't worry. You'll never have to hear such... Harrison's a technical writer for a living, and so that's why you got such rigid details.
Yeah, I try not to mix work and play, but yeah.
So I'm pretty impressed that the park has this amazing engineering infrastructure just as a backdrop.
Isn't it awesome? But without a dark water system, Disneyland would be severely lacking something. I mean, any architect knows that playing land and water off each other makes any area much more magical, I believe is the official term.
Definitely. And because Disney has such high cleaning standards, after the park closes, there are divers that actually fish the trash from the river. It's semi-regularly. Some people say that it's every night, but it's not every night. It's just on a semi-regular basis. They actually used to do it on the Jungle Cruise, too. When I was working late on the Jungle Cruise, every once in a while we would have divers in the river, swimming in the river at like 1:15 in the morning, searching for stuff. Yeah, I talk about just stark raving terror being in the middle of the Jungle Cruise. Well, think about that water. You can't see anything.
I think it would be a dream
job. But what if you actually see Nessie in there?
But, I mean, that would make me feel like an adventurer, putting on a diving suit and actually diving into the rivers of America. I don't know. I think it'd be fun.
Well, I bet they had to deal with some pretty unsavory garbage sometimes, though.
It would still be totally worth it.
I agree with you, man. Nothing says magical quite like fishing out a waterlogged, week-old Mickey pretzel from the mighty waters of the rivers of America. That's appealing. So, folks, there are a few other things to cover before we reach the end of our river journey. And if you're anything like Harry and I, you've probably peered into the rivers of America and wondered where that flow is going. So it actually goes back in by the Native American village. There's a giant pump that sucks it down in.
I see what you're doing. The loop. Yeah. You're getting a lot of mileage out of that joke. Well, you know what, Al? You know how deep I think the rivers of America is? I think they're about 20,000 leagues deep.
Really? Dude, I totally called that.
Yeah, it's so nobody notices the lost city of Atlantis down there. You know, that city's made of gold, Al.
Now, it totally makes sense that Disneyland would actually be the gateway to the legendary lost city. I mean, no arguments there. Although the internet says a lot, but...
Which we all know is a fountain of lies, the internet is.
Okay, well, I'm just for those sticklers out there, I'm going to say what the internet says about the Rivers of America depth. It says that they're about 6.5 feet deep at their center. But, and this is an important safety announcement, you should obviously never swim in them or actually try to spend the night on Tom Sawyer Island. I know this sounds ridiculous that I have to say these things, but one guest actually tried to do it back in June of 1973. They decided to swim back across the rivers of America in the middle of the night and actually sadly ended up drowning. Then, this is the crazy part, the same thing happened in June 1983 with another guest drowning while fooling around in a rubber emergency raft that he'd stolen from Tom Sawyer's Island.
What? That's crazy. So both of those drownings were in June, exactly one decade apart.
Exactly. It's kind of a sad rabbit hole to search online, but there have been accidents like this at the park through the years, and... Well, anyway, we're a family podcast, not the 6 o'clock news, so that's enough talk about that.
Whoa, look at you, Al, all roasting the 6 o'clock news, all holding a mirror up to society, like, do you like what you see?
I don't know if what I said would actually qualify as roasting the 6 o'clock news.
Do you like the culture of fear you have created, news?
Okay, so... Harry, I think we better wrap this up before this becomes a completely different kind of podcast.
Well, I can only imagine what Dinkle Hutton would say about the state of things today.
Okay, folks. Well, that's all we have for this episode. I'm going to wrap this up before Harry starts literally standing on a soapbox. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. If you have some time to write us a review on iTunes, that would be absolutely awesome. And, of course, we're on Instagram and Twitter, so just go ahead and search The Backside of Water. Don't be shy. Reach out to us. We love
Dinkle
hearing
Hutton,
from you
guys. Dinkle Hutton would have a real, real heyday with today's media. I'm telling you. He would just...
Okay, so,
he
folks,
would give him what for.
As you exit, please watch your head and watch your step. If you happen to miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language. Goodbye.
I'm telling you, he would turn the gravity way up because the people need to come back down to Earth.
Okay, I totally understand what you're saying. People just aren't ready for the truth yet.
They're
going to be coming out in a later episode. We talked about this.